We are joined by Lisa Bradshaw, Editor-in-Chief of Flanders Today. Morning, you. Hello.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm very good. Are you making the most of the sunshine? Are you going to go and have a nice al fresco lunch or something?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? We'll see if I can get out.
Okay. Best of luck. Now, we were talking last week about us not mentioning Bruges very often.
And now we're all over Bruges,
since,
aren't we?
Since then, you've gone and you found something happening in Bruges deliberately, haven't you?
No, these things are just popping up. I have nothing to do with it.
Okay, so what is this? This has been gone for a while and now it's back.
Yeah, so there used to be a Bruges Triennial 40 years ago. It sort of fell off the map. And not exactly sure why that is. Possibly it had something to do with costs. But Bruges has now launched its triennial again. I think one of the reasons that it's done this is because Bruges has a difficult relationship between its residents and its tourists. And so the theme of this triennial is actually that very thing. How do we bring together 5 million tourists a year with 117,000 residents? So as it turns out that the residents of Bruges sometimes don't feel very connected to their city because they see themselves as one big UNESCO-protected, charming tourist destination. And so it's possibly part of the reason that they thought, well, let's revive our triennial, is because they wanted to take on this idea in a socio-artistic way. And so the idea is to think about how to live together in a city when you've got a city that's kind of special like Bruges, where you've got so many more tourists than you do people who are living there. And so basically there's a huge number of artistic projects spread around the city, and so you wander about from one to the next. And one of the most interesting is by a Norwegian artist called Vibeke Jensen. And she talked to some of the Bruges residents, and she discovered that they almost never go to the Markt, which is, you know, where all the tourists go.
Yeah.
It's the center of the city. It's absolutely beautiful. There's 100 million pictures of it online. And it's where the belfry is. And she discovered that the residents themselves almost never go there. So what she did was she built a tower, sort of in tandem with the tower that's there, but she built it out of mirrors. And it's very beautiful on the outside. But you can also go inside this tower, but you can only get through the door with a combination to unlock the door. And this combination has been given to all of Bruges' residents. So if you want to go in and see the view from the inside, you have to find a resident who will give you the combination to the lock on the door.
That's clever. I like that.
It is clever, and it forces tourists to talk to residents and to start a relationship there. So all of the installations have some kind of theme about them that's in keeping with this, but I think that one in the Markt is the one you should definitely not miss. And it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend this weekend.
It is. I thought they got the weather forecast for Cairo and Belgium mixed up for something.
It's
like 30 degrees Celsius or something.
Good weekend to go to Bruges.
That's crazy.
Just saying.
Yep, yep. Let's talk sport then. And the French Open for Roland Garros and some Belgian success there.
Yeah, well, beyond all expectation, to be perfectly honest. That sounds a little mean, but Alison van Uytvanck was the lowest-ranked woman tennis player in Belgium, and not anymore. Beyond everyone's expectation, including her own, including her coach, including the Belgians, she has gone on to the quarterfinals at the French Open, which she's going to play today. And in order to do this, she has had to beat people who are ranked much, much higher than her. She was ranked 93 going into the French Open, and obviously she's going to come out of it ranked much, much higher than that, but she has played extraordinarily well, and with every game she seems to get more and more confident and more strong. So it's really exciting, actually, for Belgian tennis, and it's so much fun to watch someone to progress like this. Like, this is a history-making moment for her career. And so she plays this afternoon against someone who's going to be very, very difficult to beat, a two-time Wimbledon champion from the Czech Republic. And we're just going to have to see how that goes, but it starts at 2, and she has been so good, Utfang has been so good in the last couple of weeks, that I wouldn't be all that surprised if she managed to hold her own and make it to the next round.
Okay, we will be cheering her along. Now, this is an interesting story, and because it's borrowing, in a way, from an American way of doing things, alumni associations.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course, in the U.S., alumni associations are par for the course. If you go to a university, you end up being part of their alumni and receiving things from them for the rest of your life, whether you want to or not. But very important, especially for the Ivy League schools, alumni are huge financial supporters of the schools. They really rely on donations from them. So Flanders has just sort of never done this, never really had alumni associations. And so they started launching them. And interestingly, though, they're launching them in other cities, not necessarily in Flanders, because they find that a lot of their graduates go to these other cities. And it's been sort of a combination of the graduates being interested in keeping in touch with each other in those cities, and also sort of the universities here looking for kind of ambassadors for them in these other places. So it's UGhent who's sort of leading the way here. Ghent University has launched earlier this year an alumni network in New York. They launched that at Flanders House with a big do. But they also, they already have alumni associations in China, Vietnam, and the Balkans. And so basically, the idea is not so much fundraising at this point, but the idea is to sort of have ambassadors for their universities, for their cities, and also people from Flanders who just want to get together and meet each other and network, who all happen to have this university experience in common. Okay. So it's a new thing. It's an old thing for some of us, but a new thing for Flanders.
To Brussels now, and something that combines sightseeing and thrill-seeking. What's all this about?
Yeah. So I had never heard of this, but I got this press release a couple months ago about this event called Pop in the City. And it sounded so lovely to me. I thought, well, it's happening in September, so we'll cover it then. But then I discovered that tickets were just flying out the door. 700 women bought up these tickets. They're already sold out. So we decided to run the story now to prepare you for something that you might be seeing in Brussels on the 26th of September. So Pop in the City sells tickets to women. It's a women-only thing. And it pairs them in teams. And then it's sort of a competition. They have 25 challenges that they have to get through in 8 hours within the city. And the idea is that you will do things that you wouldn't normally do. And some of it is sort of adventurous. Like in Porto, they had to scale some of the city walls. And somewhere in France, they had to extinguish a fire with the local fire brigade. And in Brussels, apparently, they're talking about the death ride from the Atomium. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of that, but it does look death-defying. Usually, they do this in smaller cities. They've done it in Porto and Bologna and Nice. But now they're going to do it in Brussels, which is one of the larger cities they've ever come into. And the reason that it's an all-woman thing is because this organization found that women are sometimes timid about talking to locals and about going to certain places and about asking certain questions. And so the idea is to get European women more involved in city tripping in European cities on their own. So if you see 700 women in orange t-shirts
can't miss them,
on the 26th of September,
yeah,
help them out. Sometimes they need locals to help them with the challenges.
Okay.
So don't hesitate.
Last but not least, your event of the week, please.
Right. That would be Show 2015. That is the fashion department's annual catwalk show. The fashion department of the Royal Academy of Antwerp, of course, very famous. And every year they have this catwalk show where they show off the collections that they've been working on all year long. And it's usually the final year students whose collections are the most exciting. Everyone's looking forward to seeing them. And because Antwerp is still famous for the Antwerp Six in the 1980s, fashion journalists come from around Europe to take a look at who's graduating and what their designs look like. And of course, some of them are funky and unreal, and some of them are a little more down to earth, like you might actually be able to see yourself wearing it. But this is the beautiful thing about the catwalk show. And so you can also, I mean, it's not very expensive. It goes on for 2 days, the 12th and 13th June. You can dress however you want, obviously. Get dressed up, go eat fancy hors d'oeuvres, and it's a really fun night out.
Plenty more on flanderstoday.eu and in Flanders Today, the newspaper, the printed version, which is out as of now. Lisa,
right.
Thank you very much. Talk to you next week. Enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you. I'll do my best.
This is Radio X.